CCV, I just want to welcome everybody on all of our campuses this weekend as we are concluding this series called Wisdom. And if you've been around here for the last 7 weeks or so, you know that it's been a fantastic time studying and reading the book of Proverbs together. And I just want to encourage you that even though this series is winding down this weekend, don't stop reading the book of Proverbs. In fact, I want to challenge you with this statement right here, that you would continue to read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to the day that we are living. So, like Monday will be the 27th of this month. So, read chapter 27 on Monday and just continue in coming months and even in coming years to read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to the day that you're living. And it will bring such incredible wisdom into your life. In addition to that, if you're involved in social media and things like that, keep using these two hashtags that we use around here a lot for this series so we can not just learn on the weekends, but so we can continue to follow each other and learn from each other all week long from the book of Proverbs. Now, as we get ready to dive into this very last message in this series, I want to simply ask you this. Have you ever seen one of these? And you're thinking, a suitcase? Yes, we have. No, have you ever seen one of these? This is a lie detector. Maybe you've seen one of these in movies or seen one of these on a TV show, but I doubt if you've ever seen one of these in real life. I had never seen one in real life until I stood on the stage with it this weekend. Let me ask you this. What if I told you that today what we're going to do is I'm going to hook myself up to this, and then you, on all of our campuses, can ask me any question you want to ask? That'd be a pretty cool day, wouldn't it? Yeah, some of you are thinking, I have some questions for pastors. Yes. It could be anything about my private life, my public life, anything like that. And I would hook myself up to it. And so you would see up on the big screens on your campus, you would see my heart rate up on your screens. And so you would know if I was lying or not. Or what about this? What if I switched things around and I brought some of you up here? And when I say you, I mean you. And I hooked you up to this. And I could ask you questions about your life, your family, your finances. I could ask you if you really like my messages on the weekend. And we would see if you're lying or not. I know for most of us, one of our greatest fears is to be hooked up to something like this, a lie detector. But here's what's kind of crazy. God, when he made us, he kind of built a lie detector right into us. We kind of have this like internal lie detector, and we have this ability to kind of learn to discern if someone is being truthful with us or not. It's an internal lie detector. Do you remember the first time you were ever lied to? I can remember clearly. I was in kindergarten or first grade, 7 or 8 years old. Still living at 617 South Stevenson. Had some of my friends that day say we want to go play some baseball or something like that, or soccer. I can't remember what it was, but we were at a friend's house, and they said all of the sports gear is in this closet. Will you go in the closet and get it? So I went into the closet, and then they locked me in there for what seemed like hours at 7 or 8 years old. And I can just remember thinking to myself, realizing for the very first time, my friends are liars. Even my friends will lie to me from time to time. From there, growing up into my student life, my young adult life, my adult life, growing up in the church, I came to realize that even people in the church will lie to me from time to time. Even Christians lie. Did you know this? And it doesn't stop there, does it? Employers and employees lie. Sometimes pastors will lie about things. Politicians at times will lie about things. Sports stars will lie. Musicians will lie. Sometimes we know that spouses will lie to each other about certain things. And have you ever had a moment in your life where you just wanted to stand up and, like, at the top of your lungs, say this: would everybody just be honest? Seriously, would everybody just stop lying? Have you ever wanted to say that? I'll tell you, the book of Proverbs that we've been studying has a whole lot to say about this topic and about telling the truth. Let's take a look at just a few of these verses as we dive into this study. A good-for-nothing scoundrel is a person with a dishonest mouth. Just tell us what you think, Proverbs. Just tell us. Just be clear. Don't you love that about this study? The book of Proverbs, just, it doesn't pull any punches, man. It just tells you the way it is. What about this next verse? Lips that lie are disgusting to the Lord. Honest people are his delight. Now, the word people is kind of a generic term there, so let's kind of change that out a little bit. Honest students are his delight. Honest pastors are his delight. Honest employers are his delight. Honest parents are his delight. Parents, do you know how important it is to be honest with those that you are leading and loving? It's huge. Take a look at this little article that I read just this last week. A little excerpt. Kids lie early, often, and for all sorts of reasons: to avoid punishment, to bond with friends, to gain a sense of control. But now there's a singular theory for one way this habit develops. They are just copying their parents. Parents, a lot of times this thing called truth-telling or deceit trickles down into the lives of those we love and those we lead. Let's look at another verse. He who guards his lip guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. One more. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. You ever had your spirit crushed by somebody's deceitful words? I'll tell you, pretty much every week I interact and work with people who have had their spirits crushed and broken by someone's broken promise. Let me just tell you a handful of things I have personally heard in just the last few months. He said he would always be faithful, says the wife who is just now learning of her husband's affair. She said the pills weren't a problem, says the husband who is just now discovering his wife's addiction to prescription drugs. They said they were in love. They told us they still loved each other, says the children who are wrestling to figure out how to deal with their parents' divorce. They said they would pay me as soon as I finished the job, says the contractor who worked for 3 weeks and didn't get paid at all. He said that he would never show the picture to anyone, says the teenage girl who sent a picture to her boyfriend and is now learning firsthand the brutal reality of the socially connected world in which we live. And maybe you're thinking in your mind as we're studying this today, but Todd, isn't there like levels of this? Isn't there levels of lying and deceit? And we believe that because, frankly, we need there to be levels, right? I mean, aren't there levels? Isn't there like little white lies and then big whoppers? And then all kinds of exaggeration in between. And I would say to you, as I study it, I don't really see levels of lying, levels of deceit. All lying is deceit. And it's sinful, it's wrong, whether you're lying to someone else or whether you're lying to yourself. How many of you know we lie to ourselves from time to time? It's all wrong and deceitful. I don't think there are levels of it, but there is certainly a progression that lying and deceit goes through. Maybe there's stages of deceit, if you will. I just want to put these up on the screen for you for just a moment. These are not in your notes, but if you would, maybe just take a moment and write these down, because this can kind of give you a just a self-diagnostic of where you may be in your level of truth-telling. And I tell you, you know this, but deceit is a slippery slope. And any one of us, myself included, are susceptible to this kind of thing. Maybe the first stage would just be simply that you lie. And you know, when you tell just one little lie, it can be like a spark that sets a whole forest on fire. And if you don't pretty quickly come clean on that lie, if you don't confess that lie, you could move to the stage number two, and that is where you self-protect. And you begin to tell lies about your lies. How many of you know that lies travel in packs? Lies need bodyguards. Lies need other lies to cover up lies. And so you kind of just begin to self-protect and tell more lies. And if you do that, you're going to get into a habit of just being deceitful and lying about trivial things. You ever been at this place in your life? These are just like what I would call unnecessary lies. You start lying to people about what you had for lunch yesterday. Who cares? It's a trivial thing, but it's just kind of, it comes easy. It's become part of your life to exaggerate and lie about things. And if you do that, you can easily move to another stage, the fourth stage, which is you self-deceive. You actually begin to believe a lot of the lies that you're telling. And then you could easily move to where you rationalize. And that is, not only do you believe these things are true, but you believe you're doing them for a good reason. These things you're saying are for a noble cause. Now, I just want you to know, it's a slippery slope, this thing called deceit. And in the book of Proverbs, what it says is this. It says that I will wreck every relationship I have on this earth, including my relationship with God, if I allow myself to be a deceitful person. So, what should we do? If you're taking notes, there are several things that Proverbs tells us to do. The first one is kind of humorous, but it says if you want to be a more truthful person, the first thing is simply this: speak less. You want to be more honest? Just speak less. That's one of the best ways to be more honest. Take a look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 10. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs says that you and I could just dramatically increase and elevate our level of truth-telling if we would just show restraint with some of our words and not share everything that's on our heart and on our mind. Now, I'll tell you, this verse right here is more difficult for some people than it is for others. And some of this, please don't throw things at me. I know you're not going to like this, but some of this is gender-related. I'm just saying, follow me here, bear with me till the end. Here's the statistics and here's what they say about men and women. Men speak about 7,000 words a day. Ladies speak about 20,000 words a day. And I know a lot of the ladies right now are arguing with me saying, yeah, the reason we have to speak so many words is because we have to say everything 2 to 3 times for the men to get it. Right? And you're probably being honest about that. That's true. You have to say things a lot for us to get it. But I'll tell you this. It says that where words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. We could all elevate our level of truth if we would just speak less. Let's continue. Look at a couple other verses. Proverbs chapter 15. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes foolishness. Everybody say gushes. Gushes foolishness. Next verse. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked again gushes evil. Let's look at another verse. The man of knowledge uses words with restraint, but a man of understanding is even tempered. Last verse. Even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Isn't that good? I love the way Mark Twain says this very same thing. He says, it is better to keep your mouth shut and appear foolish than to open it and remove all doubt. Isn't that good? The book of Proverbs specifically tells us that you and I could be dramatically more truthful if we would just think about how we're going to respond before we actually do that. Proverbs says you don't have to express every thought that comes to mind. You don't have to participate in every conversation. You don't always have to have the last word. You and I could become a whole lot more truthful if we would just speak less. Here's another thing Proverbs says about being more truthful, and that this makes sense. It's just that we should speak truth, that we would speak more truth into people's lives. Take a look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I'll tell you what. As I look back across my life, I realize that there have been people from time to time who have had the guts to speak truth into my life. And when they've done that, it has like completely altered my life. Let me give you just a couple examples. The first example I could remember was when I was 15 years old. I was at church camp in Missouri. It was maybe 3 or 4 days in. My youth pastor came to me on the 3rd or 4th day before the evening session, and he said, hey, after the evening session tonight, I want you to meet me out at the big bell by the mess hall. There was this huge, gigantic bell that they would ring for everybody to come and eat. Meet me there after the session. So the session ended that evening. It was probably 9 or 10 o'clock. I can remember clearly going and standing by that bell. It was pitch black out. There was just a few lights on the bell. You could see all the years and decades of paint of red and blue and green chipping off that thing, and I just stood there and waited for him. After a little bit, my youth pastor came over. He was incredibly courageous. He began to talk to me about my life and really build me up with some different things in my life and how proud he was of me. He began to tell me how he thought I was really a leader. And then he began to turn a corner. And he began to talk to me about how he felt like I was not using my leadership gift to lead people closer to Jesus. And for the next 15 or 20 minutes, he began to challenge me to use my one and only life to lead people closer and closer to Jesus. And I tell you what, that one conversation of truth at 15 years old changed my whole life. Changed my whole life. Fast forward to when I was 19 years old, freshman in college. My parents dropped me off in Chicago, Illinois at Judson College. I was playing soccer there. One of the very first things I did is got involved in a church. I started going to this church called Willow Creek. I can remember it was just the second or third weekend I was there. The pastor, Bill Hybels, was standing up, and he was talking to all of us about how sometimes we give God leftovers from our lives. And then he said this. I'll never forget it. I was 19 years old. I still remember it clearly. Here's what he said. He said this: what should you and I give to a God who has only ever given us his very best? And I remember that day, there were hundreds and hundreds of other people in the room, but it felt like he was speaking just specifically to me. You ever been there? On any of our campuses, the guy sitting up here preaching, and you feel like, are you talking to me? He is reading my mail. Are you kidding me? How do you know all of that? It's not because we're so clever sitting up here. I'll tell you what it is. It's because the truth of the Word of God cuts into our lives. The truth exposes things about ourselves that we don't even know oftentimes about ourselves. And as I've continued on through the course of my adult life, I've had a number of people speak truth into my life. And I want to tell you something. You know this, but a lot of times the truth isn't so pleasant. The truth can be painful. Sometimes the truth hurts, right? And maybe you're sitting here today and you know you're really grooving with this message because you know you have a truth you need to speak to somebody. And you don't want to do it maliciously. You don't want to drag them down. You've been really thinking and praying, how do I say this specific truth to this person? You've been thinking about it for days or weeks or months. I want to give you today just a couple guidelines, a couple guardrails on how you can speak truth into a person's life in a way that they'll hear it and accept it. Okay, just two guardrails. If you're taking some notes, here's the first thing, especially if it's a painful truth. The first thing is this: painful truth is best received in private. If you have something to say, it's probably going to be best received in private. There's often a temptation to confront somebody or talk to somebody in a group, but a lot of times that is not the best way to do it. Your chances for positive results with this person will be greatly enhanced if you go to them privately. Now, I know there are probably exceptions to that, but most of the time, if you go to the person privately, it's going to enhance your chances of them accepting that truth. I'll tell you, I don't think there's a single person on any one of our campuses who dreams of being confronted publicly. Yeah, you don't lie awake at night and say, you know what, Todd, here's my wish. If I could just have one wish, here's what it would be. It would be that somebody would just put me in my place publicly. That would be awesome. No. I mean, there may be one or two of you, but you're weird, okay? Most of us, 99% of us don't want that in our lives. Now take a look at this verse in the Bible in Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. A painful truth is oftentimes best received in private. That's the first guardrail. The second guardrail would be this, that painful truth is best received in the context of friendship. As I look back again and kind of consider my life and the people who have spoken truth into my life, here's what I've come to realize. The reason I accepted that truth into my life is because the truth teller was also a trusted friend. That's so huge. I bet it's true for you as well. The reason you actually accept truth into your life is because the truth teller was also a trusted friend. Again, look at this verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Isn't that good? Isn't that great wisdom? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy, you know what they do? They just multiply kisses. In other words, what this is saying is an enemy is just going to tell you what you want to hear. A friend is going to tell you what you need to hear, right? An enemy just tells you what you want to hear. A friend tells you what you need to hear. An enemy just says things like, you know what? You're amazing. You're awesome. You're fantastic. You're incredible. You're cool. A friend says, you know what? You're amazing. You're awesome. You're incredible. You are messed up. You're cool. See what they did? They squeezed it in. They're bringing you the truth. They're telling you what's true about you. They're not just multiplying kisses. They're not afraid to wound you a little bit if necessary. And I'm telling you, friends, that if you're going to speak some truth and bring some truth into somebody's life, the two guardrails that are really good to remember is that truth is going to be best received in private, especially if it's painful. And a painful truth is also going to be best received within the context of friendship. That's the way we hear it and receive it the best. Now, this brings us to the last thing I want to study, and that is the idea of hearing truth. Just hearing truth in our lives. Because if someone's going to speak it to you, you also need to be willing to hear it. And how many of you know, when somebody speaks truth into your life, it's so easy to get defensive, isn't it? I mean, it is for me. It's so easy to get defensive and think to myself, you know what? Okay. Who are you to tell me how to live? I mean, we live in the same house. You're way more messed up than I am, right? I mean, who are you to judge me? Sometimes, no matter who you are, whether you've been a Christian a long time or a Christian a little bit of time or not at all, no matter who you are on this planet, a lot of times it's very difficult to hear the truth about ourselves. But I'll tell you this. One of the greatest themes of the Bible and of the book of Proverbs is this whole idea about hearing truth about who we are, about our human predicament, about humanity. Take a look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Isn't that good? That's just such rich wisdom for us. If you will listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Now I want to just pause for a moment and talk a little bit about this idea of constructive criticism, because some of you love to give it, right? A lot. Constructive criticism. And here's something I've learned about this whole notion. Constructive criticism will make you better. Constant criticism will make you bitter. Isn't that true? Constructive criticism will make you better in your life. Constant criticism will make you bitter in your life. And here's the deal. Our goal in being constructive in our truth-telling, the reason we want to be constructive in our truth-telling is so that people will hear it and they will what? Be at home among the wise. It's not just to get something off your chest or mind. It is to move them to a place so they'll hear it, so they'll accept it, and so they will be at home among the wise. The Bible in the book of Proverbs has one of the biggest repeated themes of just being able to hear truth about ourselves in a way that will accept it, metabolize it into our lives, and become more wise for accepting it. Now, as we wrap up, as we kind of come down to the conclusion of this whole series for the last 7 weeks, and as we come down to kind of wrapping up this very last message, here's what I want to do for the next few moments. This is huge. I want to share with you two overarching truths about you and me. These are two things that the Bible says are true. It doesn't matter if you've been in church a lot or just a little bit. These things are true about you and me. And I pray that God would just let these settle in to each and every one of your lives. Here's the first truth about you and me. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Every single one of us on every one of our campuses. The book of Romans chapter 3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing, what you will do. We're all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. And some of you may be thinking, well, you know, hey, I'm certainly better than the person sitting beside me. I'm better than my whole row. I'm the best person in my row. Guess what? Who cares? Who cares? We are all sinners in need of a Savior. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's the first truth. Doesn't matter if you've been in church a lot or a little. That's true about you and me. Here's the second truth that's really cool. Anyone who accepts Jesus into his or her life will be saved. Romans chapter 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Todd, you don't know me though. Guess what? It doesn't matter again what you've done, what you're doing, what you will do. Every single person on every single campus who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. And I promise you, friends, one of these days, when you and I are standing in heaven before God, one of these days, having accepted Jesus and having Jesus standing beside you, will save your life. Having Jesus standing beside you will change the whole game. I promise. It's so important to have somebody standing with you in order for you to see that in a really powerful way. Take just about 1 minute and watch this short video that makes the point of somebody standing with you. Take a look at this.
And now to honor America and salute the men and women serving our country with our national anthem, Natalie Gilbert.
So proudly we hailed
Good. One of these days, if you've accepted Jesus into your life, having him come and stand beside you will change everything. And your confidence will return when he stands beside you. Having Jesus with you will save your life. When you don't know the words to really say, he'll say them for you. Now, if you're taking notes today, here's the takeaway. What truth do you need to hear or speak this week? As we wrap up this whole series, just think about it. What truth do you need to hear or speak this week? Some of you, you know you need to speak some truth to people this week, and you need to think about those guardrails of doing it privately and doing it within the context of friendship as much as possible. You know you need to speak truth in that way. Some of you, the truth you need to speak is just that you need to speak less. You just need to speak less this week. And that would be your takeaway. Some of you need to hear truth. You need to hear and accept that we're all sinners in need of a Savior and that everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. You need to hear that. A great place for you to hear this truth on all of our campuses is coming up next Sunday. We're having Starting Point on every one of our campuses. And at Starting Point, you're going to learn more about Jesus. You're going to learn how we try and follow Jesus around here and how we try and live him out in our lives and in this world. And maybe you need to go to Starting Point, go sign up for that on all of our campuses and just begin to hear more about this truth of Jesus. I'm not sure if you need to hear it or speak it, but just allow this to just kind of carry with you today as we head out of all of these campuses. What's the truth that you need in your life? Let's pray together. God, thank you for leading us here. God, thank you so much for your word, the Bible. God, I thank you for the wisdom that it brings into our lives on any subject that we would get tangled up in. God, I pray that we would continue not to just read it and debate it, but we would read and obey your word, and we would grow wiser and wiser as a result. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.